Bibles and turn to James chapter number 4. James chapter number 4. While you're finding your place there, I want to thank the church on behalf of the family that we took the offering for this past Lord's Day. And more than enough came in, as the scripture says. The Lord, the need was presented as 1,500, and it came in as the final count was 1,636. And so we praise the Lord for that. And I've gotten with the family, and they're already putting the money to the use of the repairs of the things that was discussed. And so thank you for helping in that. And I just thank the Lord I'm part of a people that are a giving people. Someone has said that we're never more like God than when we're giving. And I think that's so. I think that's so. Now, others have said, well, you know, we're never more like God than when we're loving, because God is love. Well, when you love, you give. And so I think that really both could be so, but I think that a giving heart is a good evidence of a loving heart, don't you? And I think the other way as well. James chapter number 4. James chapter number 4. This Sunday will be Veterans Day. And we have encouraged you to not only be here, but to bring someone in particular, bring a veteran with you to the service Sunday. And after the Sunday morning service, we're going to carry those veterans out and just show them that we love them and we appreciate them, and we'll have a meal with them, and maybe we'll hear some stories, some accounts, and that's a good time. And I look forward to that time again this year. I look forward to the service this Lord's Day. I'm going to be preaching this Lord's Day out of James chapter 4, the first few verses there, about wars. You know, the war is not over. And we all fight a war. And we're going to talk about that. So we're going to skip kind of that first section of chapter 4, feel led of the Lord to do that. And we'll talk about it this Sunday morning. And I'm going to go down to the close of the chapter, the chapter 4 to verse number 13. I'm going to ask you if you would stand with me, and we'll read verses 13 through 17. These are very familiar passages of Scripture. And so I'm just going to bring you a simple message from some familiar Scripture on God's will. God's will. Don't lose it in the fog. All right? God's will. Some people make God's will very difficult. And when you listen to some people teach and preach, it's almost like God's will is this deep, dark, mysterious, you know, almost like, ooh, you know. And that's not God's will as I studied in the Bible. God's will is to be very clear, and it's to be carried out in our lives. And so I want to answer some questions out of this passage of Scripture about God's will. I hope it'll help you tonight. James chapter 4, we'll begin our reading in verse number 13. James chapter 4, verse number 13, we'll read down through verse 17 to the close of the chapter. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell, and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. That's the scripture, James chapter 4, verse 13 through 17. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the word of God, and thank you for these particular passages of scripture. And I pray that you would open our hearts now, as you have placed upon my heart and in my heart some things that I believe that would be a help to us if we would just heed the clear, simple teachings that we will receive tonight. I pray that the teaching would go far beyond my words, and that the Holy Spirit would be the teacher tonight and teach us these truths and that we would now take the truth that we are taught and put them into daily practice in our life, that we could indeed do and follow the will of God in our lives. Help us, Lord, to be in the mindset, even as our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, when we could truly pray, not my will, but thy will be done, and mean it even as he meant it in his earthly ministry. And I pray you would help us to leave this place with a greater determination to do your will and a clearer understanding as to what your will is. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. James chapter 4, verse 13 through 17. And if you were not in the sanctuary earlier, I said that we'll get the first section of this over the next couple of Sunday mornings, Sunday nights. But we finished up in chapter 3 the last Wednesday, and tonight I was going to be in the first section of chapter 4, but I felt led of the Lord that we'll bring that message Sunday morning, the Lord willing. So I want to begin in verse number 13. What is James doing here? Well, James is doing what he does a lot in his epistle, and he followed the model of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe, and I believe the scripture bears this out, that James was raised in the same home as the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that James followed the Lord's earthly ministry very carefully, and he picked up a lot. It's not hard to distinguish that when you read through these five chapters here in James. It's not hard to see that James uses a lot of things that the Lord Jesus. He uses a lot of illustrations in his writings. He uses a lot of nature. He talks about trees in chapter 3 when we were closing that. He talked about the fig tree and the olive berry tree, and he talked about the fresh water and the salt water. He talked about different things in his writings. He does it here in chapter 4. He talks about now, he's going to give us an illustration. He's going to draw a picture. He says, I want you to picture a merchant man. A merchant man that's planning out his business. And he said, I want you to envision a man who has got his life planned out. And so he says in verse number 13, go to now, or come and see, or look at this, envision this, he said. Just for a moment, think about this. Think about a man, a businessman, that's going to leave and he's going to travel. And he's going to go to a place for a business venture, and according to verse number 13, he's going to stay in a certain city. He's already got it mapped out. He's going to go, verse number 13 says, to such a city, and he's going to continue there for a year. And he's going to make investments, and he's going to buy, and he's going to sell, and he's going to make money. He's going to get, the scripture says here, get gain. So here's a man who's got it all planned out. And there's certainly nothing wrong with planning. The Bible teaches and says positive things about planning. King shouldn't go to war. Man shouldn't build a city without making proper preparation. Isn't that what the Lord Jesus taught in the Gospel of Luke? But there's something missing in this man's planning. And this is what James wants to talk to us about. There are a lot of Christians who are practicing atheists. Now you say, now how? What can that be? Now wait a minute. Christian, atheist, yes. They're not intellectual atheists. They're practicing atheists. In other words, there's a lot of people, and even some Christians, who go through their life and they live their life as if God doesn't exist. Now, I didn't say they believe God doesn't exist. See, that's an intellectual atheist. That's someone that will tell you, when you ask them the question, do you believe in God? They say, no, I do not believe in God. And so intellectually, they try to convince us that science would say there is no God. Well, we know better, and I'm not going to go into that. Okay, you're here. And I look across the congregation, I see very, very familiar faces, spoken to you, some personally. You're here tonight because you believe there is a God. And you're here tonight because you believe that God sent His Son. You believe the gospel. You believe the record that God gave of His Son. That's why you're here tonight. You're not here for any other purpose. Now, there's a lot of side things that are secondary, but the primary reason that we're here tonight is we believe that there is a God, and this God has put some things into action. And because of what he has done, well, we're here. Now, as a believer that there is a God, we need to make sure that we live our lives in constant fellowship with that God, and not to go through life as though that God doesn't exist. You say, well, how can that be? Oh, I don't know. How much did you talk to him today? What did you ask him about what you were going to do today? Did you make any purchases today? Was he consulted in the purchases? Was God consulted in the places you went, in the things that you did? Was God acknowledged in our lives today? Well, here in verse number 13 is a man that doesn't acknowledge God. Here's a man that's going to just go through life and he's got it figured out on his own. And this is practicing atheism, okay? This is a person who just says, you know what, I've got it planned out. I'm not going to consult God. I'm not going to consider God. And James says, I want to talk to you about this. He said, you need to beware of this. And so he gives us some things to look for and to beware of when it comes to doing God's will. So here's what he does. Look at it. Number one, in verse number 13, he says, I want to draw you a picture. He said, I want you to picture a man. Now, in James' day, a man would maybe have a camel with a big back sack pack, and he's going to go on a business trip, okay? But we're going to fast forward to our day, all right? In our day, you got a man. I want you to picture a man. He's in a nice Armani three-piece suit, and he is in a business environment, and there's just phones ringing and faxes going off. And I mean, me and have got their phones out, and they're making deals, you know, and they're closing deals, and I mean, big business going on, right? They got it all figured out. Well, you know, we're going to do this, and we're going to make this plan, we're going to make that plan. This guy's calling the shots. Close it. What do you think we want to do about this, Dale? Close it. What do you think? Buy, sell, do this, do that. Got to make money. What about God, Dale? Well, what about God? See, I got this whole thing figured out, right? We got this thing figured out. If I could just get you to see tonight, listen to me carefully, that there's not enough money in this world to make you happy, I would feel good about what you got out of the service tonight. If I could just get you to see that it's not that thing that you think that, boy, if I just had that car, that little sports car, it's going to make me look cool, and it's that's going to do it. That's what I need to make me feel like I'm it. I've arrived. You know, I got to get that car, right? Or if I could just get that house, if we could just get that house, preacher, I tell you, if that would do it. That house would do it. If I could just land that job, man, that's the job of my. If I could just land that job, that's what's going to bring me peace and fulfillment. No, it's not. No, it's not. Only Jesus can give peace. Now, you listen to me. I'm not saying that these things are not a part of life, but Jesus said that our life consists of more than the abundance of things that we have. And you know and I know, and sometimes we lose sight of this and we lose our focus. You know and I know that this book teaches in our experiences in life as Christians, it teaches that, listen, you can have all of these things, but if you don't have peace with God, what do you really have? What does one really have? And so James said, beware. He said, here's the businessman who's got it all figured out, but what he hasn't figured out is he's not even promised the rest of the day. Look at the way he started verse number 14. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. Here you are making all of these plans, and you've got all of this figured out. You're going to go to such and such a city. You're going to stay a year now. You're thinking a year down the road of how you're going to have it. And James said, what you need to remember is you're not even promised the rest of the day. Yeah. So he said, let me cue you in on some things that will help you. And I hope that it will help you. It certainly has helped me. And I just have to keep being reeled back into these truths right here. God just has to keep reeling me back into this. Right here is where it's at. Right here. Number one. Notice what James mentions here. He mentioned that if we're not careful, we'll get so busy, we'll presume a lot of things. Number one, he said, we'll presume the when. In other words, we'll presume time. Look at what he said in verse number 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow. When? He said, now listen, you need to think about this. You can't just start making decisions and this and that and when. Time, today, tomorrow. Even, because if you don't get that under control, notice what this man did. He now, in the latter part of verse number 13, continued there a year. You get away from today, what you're promised, there's no telling where that may lead you. This man's already got it a year. He's presuming, I will be here, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to get gain, and right? Well, let me ask you to hold your hand here and turn back to Luke just for a moment into chapter 12. And we'll see a man that Jesus told about. And when I began to see scripture that's always about a person, the worst thing that can happen in our lives is for us to become about us. And I'm going to say that again. The worst thing that can happen in our lives is for us to become about us. If our life is no bigger than us, that's pitiful. That's pitiful. You know, that's on every level. When I counsel a young man and a young lady for marriage, one of the key things I teach them, I teach the young man, you quit worrying about your needs. You let her do that. And I teach the young lady, you quit worrying about your needs. You let him do that. That's what the Bible teaches. Amen. The Bible teaches that. You're not into marriage to see what you can get out of it. You're in marriage to see what you can give to it. Amen. And if we would get focused on what we can give instead of what we could get, we'd get a lot more out of marriage and life. But everybody's focused on me. Watch this man, Luke chapter 12. We'll begin our reading in Luke chapter 12, verse number 15. Luke 12, verse 15. He said unto them, Jesus, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And I want to say, amen. Some folks are so caught up in all they can get. You know, and that's just the world, brother. And when I say the world, I want you to understand, I'm not talking about nature and trees and animals. I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about the system of this world that is surely Antichrist. Just get all you can, right? I mean, just forget everyone else and helping other people. And you just get all you can, and you just get, you know, just run over people if you have to. Just make sure you get it. Isn't that this world? That's a dog eat dog out there, brother. No, not in the world I live in. It's not, and it doesn't have to be in the world you live in. And so Jesus said, "I want to tell you a parable." In verse number 16, and he said, there was a ground of a certain rich man that brought forth plentiful. There's certainly nothing wrong with having plenty. But here's where the wrong is. Watch it. He thought within himself, saying, what shall, here's the word, I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. It just goes on and on and on. Verse number 19. I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Now, this man, nothing wrong with people having things, working for it. The Bible teaches that. As a matter of fact, the Bible says if a man would not work, he shouldn't eat. The Bible teaches that. But when we get so self-sufficient in life and so self-reliant that we think, this is about me, I'm going to do this, and we completely leave God out, then this is what God tells this man. Look, if you would, in verse number 20. But God said unto him, thou fool. You're making all of these plans, and you're not consulting me. You're not considering me, and you're not coming to me. That's foolish. Now you would say, well, preacher, I don't do that. Well, I hope that you don't. I hope that you don't. But if we're not careful, we can deceive ourselves into thinking that we don't, when if we would just evaluate and begin to ask ourselves questions, maybe we would find out we do more of it than we realize. So we go back to James, and I want you to understand what James is saying here. He's saying, here's a man, and he's building the premise of his life on him. Life is about me. I'm not going to pray. I'm not going to ask God. I'm not going to seek godly counsel. I'm not going to get in God's word. I'm just going to make decisions based on me, what I think, how I feel, and we're going to go with it. Now, don't you live life that way. If you do, you are a practicing atheist. You may not be an intellectual atheist, but you're living your life as though God doesn't exist. You say, well, preacher, how can you say that? Well, what is that? What do you call that? What do you call when people live life that like God doesn't exist? What do you call that? We never talk to God. We never get God's account. We never see what God says. We never pray for God's will. We just do what we want to do. Listen, that's the lowest base of humanism. I'm going to do this. That's what this man did. And James said, come here. Go back, if you would, to chapter 4, James. He said, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow. In other words, you're not asking God. You're not seeking the Lord. You've got all your plans made. You haven't consulted Him. You've got your life plan laid out. I'm going to work until I'm at this age. Then I'm going to retire. And I'm going to draw my retirement. I'm going to build me a nest egg. Then we're going to travel. Really? Is that what God? Did you ask God about that? Now, you got this thing all planned out. Did you ask God about that? You see? Well, you know, that's the way it's done in America, preacher. We get married young, and we work hard, and we save all of our money, and we build us a little nest egg, and then we retire, and then we just travel. I haven't found that anywhere in the Bible. I just haven't. The Bible says the chief purpose, listen, well, it's the Westminster Catechism. It's the chief purpose of man is to glorify God. But can I tell you, the Bible teaches that. Whether therefore you eat, drink, or whatsoever you do all to the glory of God. Amen. Nothing wrong with retiring. Kinda. Dr. Thompson said he just refired. Amen. He didn't retire. And I think that's a good thing. Some people need some activity in their life just to, well, I mean, the man's 91. I mean, kind of hard to argue with that. Amen. You say, well, I'm getting ready to retire my job. Well, retire it. Just don't quit life. Amen. Stay engaged in life with your family, with church, with serving God. Stay engaged. Some people do more. Did you know, I challenge you, look it up. Almost every major invention was made after somebody retired or gave up. Did you know that most people that come up with things, the ingenuity, and become very famous at something, it's when they quit their job or they retired their job and began to do what they love, and they came up with something that has helped so many people. How many of you knew that? You've ever read that? Yeah. So look at it. It's there. Why? Because people focus on what they love. Listen, your job ought to be what you love. You say, I don't love my job. You need to get another one. I love mine. Amen. Some of you are looking at me like, that's crazy. Why is that crazy? Find what you love and do it with all that's within you. James said, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and we'll continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. I see in that, I see the when. I see the where. We're going to go into such a city. We're not going to ask God. We're just going to do it. We're not going to say, now, God, where do you want us to work? God, what do you want us to do? God, where do you want us to be? I've got all this planned out. Don't need God. I got it planned out. Why? I got an education. I got a diploma. And diploma tells me that I can do this. Let me tell you something. God trumps education. Amen. God uses education. He can. But education doesn't qualify us. Education doesn't always put us in God's will. Just because you know how to do something doesn't mean God wants us to do it. Amen. And so he said here, be careful not to think, well, I know how. And the Lord constantly had to teach the disciples, just because you know and you've done it before doesn't mean that's what I want you to rely on. They knew the when, the where, the what. And again, I want to be very careful here. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse number 11, that we're to be not to be slothful in business. I'm not saying that we ought not to do our best. I'm not saying that we ought not to be hardworking and that we're not to go to work and do what God has called us to do. But I am saying we need to seek God's will. We need to get God's mind on the matter. That's why Jesus, when those disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray, he said, give us this day our daily bread. God wants me looking to him every day. And God wants you to look at to him every day too. And so don't ever get dependent on money. You know, my money, my talent, my ability, my knowledge. No, it's my God. That's who I want to depend on, my God. I want my allegiance to be to him. Now, not only did he talk about this picture, but he said there's a problem with this. Look in verse number 16. This is what happens to people in verse number 16 who is all about them. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. We're going to go and we're going to do this and we're going to do that and we're going to we, man. God says that's boasting. He said in verse number 16, but now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. I know this goes against the mind. Listen, if you were anything like me, you were, many of you, I was brought up in an Egyptian public school system. It was entrenched in me. It was entrenched in me. You go out and you do what you want to do. This is America. You can do whatever you want to do. You can be whatever you want to be. And you just go out there and you just conquer the world, boy. That's nowhere in the Bible. I'm to humble myself under the mighty hand of God. And I am to seek God's will and purpose for my life. I'm not to go out and do what I want to do. I'm to do what God wants me to do. God put me here for a purpose, and God put you here for a purpose. And that's what we're after, and that's what he's saying here. Now, so here, if you go back to verse number 13, you'll see where a man says, I got it all planned out. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I've got a plan. I'm chasing the American dream. I'm going to have a white picket fence and a dog that wags his tail that I pat on the head before I go into the door and kiss my wife and say hello to my kids every day. Hey, listen to me. All that's fine and well if that's God's will. God may not want you to have a dog. He never has me. So, be careful about the American dream. The American dream is not a part of God's will. Amen. I want to do God's will. I believe you want to do God's will. So how are we going to do that? How can I know God's will? From my mindset, preacher, how will I know if I'm fulfilling God's purpose? Now listen, I'm going to lay something on you here. I hope you know this. You're here for a purpose. You will never, ever be satisfied until you're fulfilling that purpose. Why do you think people go from thing to thing, from this to this to this to this? They're always antsy and never satisfied, no peace. Why? Because they're trying to fulfill something with something other than God's purpose for their life. Do you know God's purpose for your life? That's just the first part. The second part is then do it. So here's a person in verse number 13 who said, going to do this. Got it all planned out. And then James said in verse 16, that's boasting. You left God out. Where's God in this plan? Have you sought God's will? Have you asked the Lord? See, I'll never be convinced that God has quit calling men to the ministry. Where's the young men? There used to be young men who by the multitudes was entering into the ministry. Where are they? I'll tell you where they are. They're seeking, they're in verse number 13. They're in verse number 13. And God's trying to get their attention in verse number 16. God's saying, hey, I called you to preach my gospel. And you're trying to make money selling stuff. Right? Yes. Men are no longer, few are answering the call to the ministry to go and preach. And then when they do, they lose their focus and they wind up making money and they get contented and satisfied with just meeting the need. But that satisfaction is not going to last. Because the only way you're ever going to have fulfillment in your life is to do the will of God. Oh, how I pray that God would impress that on some young man's heart tonight. You will never be happy. You will never have fulfillment and purpose in life until you are doing God's will. Verse number 14, he said, you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? Well, what a question. What a question. What is James trying to do here? Don't miss this, young folks. Some of us are a little older and some of us that are a lot older. If we could just sit down with you, we could tell you what James is trying to say here is dead on. Now listen to me. What is your life? I'll tell you what he said. He said, your life will be here and gone in a flash. So don't put off till tomorrow what you can do today. Don't think you're going to have so much time to fulfill what God has in your life. You're not. You're not. Before you know it, you that are single will be married. And you that are married with no children will be married with children. And you that are married with children in the home will be married with children that are leaving the home and marrying themselves. And you that have folks, you that have children that have been married, they'll be bringing you grandchildren. Now that's not all bad. Amen. But what I'm saying is life, it just passes so quickly. And James said, while you've made these plans, you left God out, and now you don't even know that you've got tomorrow. Life is here and gone. Let me tell you what the Bible says. Listen very carefully here. When James speaks of what is your life, what is he saying? He's saying life, number one, has uncertainty. There's nobody in here that could stand up tonight and tell me, preacher, I know exactly what's going to happen tomorrow. I've got it planned out, got it down, let alone a year down the road. You're not going to be able to do that. You're not. Why? Because we all know that life has its uncertainties. Amen? It does. Listen, we all realize this. Now, that doesn't keep us from planning. It doesn't keep us from laying some things out, but we must involve God. God will help us in the times of uncertainties. Then he said, not only that, look what he said. He said, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. That's uncertainty. Watch this. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. What's he saying? Life has its brevity. It's here and it's gone. I mean, it doesn't seem like long at all. I was graduating high school. And I am not trying to be funny. I'm serious. Man, my youngest son's going to get married this weekend. That's something. You know? And it's not going to be long to all of my children that at one time I just felt like I could hold, you know, all of them in my two arms. They're going to be married. And one of these days, brethren, I'm not going to be able to stand up here and preach to you. People grow old. And there's things that they once could do that they no longer can do. And one day that person that everybody's talking about that's died, that everybody's surprised, is going to be you. It's going to be me. Hey, did you hear? Pastor Freeman passed away. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. You say, well, preacher, I didn't want to come to church on Wednesday night and hear that I was going to die. You mean you didn't know that before you came? I'm just reminding you. Amen. I'm telling you, life is brief. And James is saying, you're making all of these plans. Make sure that you get the most out of life. Include God in it. Make sure that you've checked with headquarters and that you're doing what God put you here to do. It's important. We don't have time to backtrack and hit rewind and go through it all over again. There's not much time. There's not that much time to keep doing it over and over and over. Get with God and do it right the first time. Amen. That's what James is teaching. Just get with God and say, God, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? God, I want to do your will. You say, preacher, I do. Tell me how. All right, I'm going to close with that. I believe there's somebody here tonight. If God has got your attention, you're saying, man, I sure would like to do God's will in my life. I would. I don't want to get down. I've used this many times. The first time I read this, it stung me. I don't want to get to the top of the ladder or the end of life and realize that my ladder has been leaned up against the wrong building and find out that I didn't end up where God intended my life to end up. I went through the process, but I ended up on the wrong side. Then life is done. And I haven't invested my life the way God intended me to invest it. Now what are you going to do? You're 50, 60, 70 years old. You can't redo it at that point, brethren. You can't. Make sure your ladder's leaned up against the right building. Do God's will. How am I going to do that? Well, let's see what he said. Verse number 15, he said, number one, you need to find God's will. How you do that? He said, well, you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. If the Lord will. In other words, back in verse number 13, all that stuff you're planning out, make sure. You might want to run that through God. Amen. Make sure that that's God's will. You ought to say the Lord will. What is God's will? It's God's purpose. Did you know, and I want you to turn to John chapter 7, Jesus made a statement. He said, you know, if you want to do God's will, God will show you His will. Now there may be somebody, as we bring this message to a close here tonight, I want you to listen very carefully to what I'm getting to say, especially if you're a young person here tonight. Now if you're older, I'm not saying there's no help for you. I'm not. But I will tell you, the older you get, the harder it is to switch gears. Somebody say amen with me. We've heard the old saying, it is hard to teach old dogs new tricks. And I tell you, once a person gets going in their way and set, you've heard this statement, set in their way, I tell you, it's difficult. God wants to get you while you're young and tender. That's why the wisest man ever to live outside the Lord Jesus said, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. He said, remember Him now. Find His will while you're young and impressionable, so you could do His will all the days of your life and not have to look back over the course of your life and have so much regret and pain and unnecessary hardship. Right? Pray about things, young folk. Please. Pray about it. Support it. You don't want to mess your life up. It's important. And there's better people than you that have messed their life up because they didn't pray. They thought it wasn't important enough to pray every day and to ask God what to do or where to go or how to do it. They thought, well, it'll just all fall into place magically. Hey, this is not Disneyland. This is reality. And the things don't just magically fall into place. They don't. But God will place them in place for us if we ask Him. If we'll ask Him, God will show us His will. John chapter 7, are you there? Look, if you would, at what Jesus said in verse number 17. This is a very interesting verse of Scripture to me. And I think that what Jesus is saying here, I'm quite sure of it, that Jesus is saying, if you want to know God's will, if you're committed to do God's will, I'll show you God's will. Look at John chapter 7, verse 17. If any man will do His will you? You say, well, what is it? Wait a minute, hold it. If you've got to know what it is before you'll do it, you're not serious about doing it. If any man will do His will, you want to know God's will? You've got to commit to do it, and then He'll be committed to reveal it. Did you get what I just said? God will be committed to show you His will if you are committed to do His will. Could you honestly come before this altar tonight, or have you ever built an altar and said, God, I'm yours. Whatever you tell me to do, wherever you tell me to do it, God, I'll do your will. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, that we're not to let our minds be conformed to this present world, but we're to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Watch this now. That you may prove. You know what that word prove means? Find and follow. That you may prove, that you may find and follow what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If you laid it on the altar and said, God, I'm yours. I'll do whatever you tell me to do. This is what He said. If any man will do His will, he shall know the doctrine. He shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. You're going to do His will? Where do I find His will? He said, you shall know the doctrine. It's in this book right here. You find God's will in God's Word. You start with what you know. If you won't do what you know, what makes you think you're going to do what you don't know once you know it? Amen. And so God said, are you serious about doing my will? Let's talk about some things and just quickly. What do you know? Well, I know in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, write these verses down. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, that it's the will of God in Christ Jesus to give thanks in all things. Amen. I know according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 3, it's the will of God not to commit fornication. Amen. I know that it's the will of God that all men be saved. I know that it's the will of God that none would perish. Not any. That's the will of God. It's the will of God in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 36 that I persevere and do what's right. Do what I know to be right. We go back to James chapter 4 and he said, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. It's the will of God to do the good and right thing in every situation. Now that's the will of God. Are you doing the will of God? See, sometimes people get so concerned about where God's will. I will tell you something. If you'll get concerned about what? You get concerned about that, God will get you to the where. Some people think God's will is some extravagant big thing. You know, God's going to pick me up and put me over here. God uses working people. God uses people that are already interested in His will. And so for a moment, don't get concerned about where, get concerned about what. And what is doing God's will. Just do God's will. Just do what you know to do. Do what's right. You ought to say the Lord's will. I think it would be good for every young person, every Christian, to just say, God, would you help me to say it and mean it when I'm speaking, to say, you know what, if it's the Lord's will, I'm going to go to such and such place tomorrow. And just mean that. Not it become a Christian phrase that we tag on to make it sound spiritual, but mean that. You know, if it's the Lord's will, I'm going to take that job. If it's the Lord's will, I'm going to get involved in that ministry. If it's the Lord's will, I'm going to marry that young man or that young lady. Well, if it be the Lord's will, we're going to move in that house. Well, if it be the Lord's will, I'm going to go such and such a place and do such and such a thing. If it's the Lord's will. How do you find the Lord's will? In God's Word. I have always found God's will in God's Word. You can be reading the Scripture, something you've read over and over, and God will just pick something out of that Scripture and just pick it right up and go, fit it right in that place. It's a perfect fit right in your heart. You know what I'm talking about? And you have read it before and you're thinking, where did that come from? And God says, I'm showing you my will. I want you to do this. This is what I want you to do. God will get specific. He'll not only tell you what He wants you to do, He'll tell you how He wants you to do it. Amen? He will. God's not trying to keep His will from you. It's not something you have to beg God. And, you know, some say, pray hard for God's will. Oh, no. James said right before this, you have not because you ask not. Ask and you shall receive. Amen? You ask God, what's His will? You say, oh, I think it's hard, preacher. Really? I close with this illustration. How many of you have children? Raise your hand. All right, remember when your children were about this high? I do. Seems like it was yesterday. Amen. What is your life? It is like a vapor. Amen. And they come running up to you and they say, Daddy, Daddy, you know, I want to do something to please you. What can I do? What are you going to say? Oh, well, let me see here. First of all, I want you to solve this riddle. And then I want you to, you know, jump over this and jump over that. And then I want you to run around there. I want you to do all these outlandish things that are going to be very difficult to accomplish. And then, maybe just then, I'll tell you how to do something that'll please Dad. There's not a parent in here that would do that. So please don't think our Heavenly Father would do that to us as His children. When we go up to God and say, God, I want to do your will, that's like a little child coming to you as a parent saying, I want to do something to please you. Because us doing God's will pleases our Heavenly Father. And our Heavenly Father's not going to make us jump through hoops and do all this stuff that some people, you listen to them teach and preach, and they make it sound like that's what you have to do to know and do God's will. It's not. It's not. Be willing. Commit yourself to do God's will, and God will commit Himself to reveal His will to you. Let's all stand. You say, well, preacher, I thought that when you close tonight and how to do God's will, you're going to give us this deep, laid out. Nah, I just gave you what the Bible teaches. Just ask the Lord what He would have you to do. Now, I'm not saying that doing the will of God is easy. I'm not saying that. Sometimes God, in His perfect will ask us to do hard things. But what I am saying is that God's not going to try to make it so deep and keep hiding and jerking His will like the proverbial carrot, you know, from the horse. He's not going to keep doing that to keep us from knowing His will. So get that out of our minds, all right? God wants you to know and do His will. Let's bow our heads. What about you? Are you doing God's will? Are you? Who's making plans for your life? You got it figured out? Or are you trusting in Him? Are you trusting in His plan for your life? Please, please. I call upon you tonight to seek His will and do His will. Would you? Is there anyone here tonight as we close in prayer to say, "Preacher, tonight God spoke to me about doing His will, and as God is my helper, I want to know and do His will." Would you pray for me? God bless you, sir. There's hands. God bless you. Amen. I pray God would help you to know and do His will, and He will. You submit. You yield yourself to Him, and He will reveal His will to you. There may be someone in here that say, "Preacher, I'm struggling with God's will. God has shown me what His will is, and I'm struggling with it, and I'm going to ask you to pray for me." It's not that I do not know God's will. It's just that I have been stubborn, and I have not done God's will, and I want you to pray for me, preacher. Anyone like that tonight? Be honest before the Lord. God bless you, sir. Yes, sir. God bless you, young man. Yes, young man. God bless you. Anyone else? I appreciate that honesty. It's not an easy thing to do, but it shows me you want help, and it shows, more importantly, it shows God that you want help. And God will smile upon that. Father, you've seen the hands that have been lifted. You know the hearts of every individual in this service tonight. Would you take some of these scattered truths that I have attempted to give from your word, and would you help us to apply them to our hearts and to realize that we ought to say, "If the Lord will, we will do such and such and go to such and such place." Help us to be very concerned about finding and following your will for our lives. Thank you for the peace that you give in the center of your will. I pray for these in particular tonight that lifted their hand. God, would you help them? Those that said they want to do your will, and those that are struggling in doing your will, I pray that you would help them. God, I ask you to please minister to them and let them know the place of peace, place of tranquility is in the center of your will. We love you, Lord, and thank you for your purpose for our life. Help us to fulfill it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for your attention tonight.